This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American Research Professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Colombia, the very significant ally of the United States, also a country that is faced with the provocations and threats from Venezuela, a rogue state, a failed state that right now is part of the Byzantine relationships with adversaries of the United States and democracy. That would be Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, Havana, Managua. However, Colombia's election cycle now has a man named Gustavo Petro, who has been described by the BBC as an ex-Marxist guerrilla. All right. But right now, Gustavo Petro, in the polls, is ahead, but not overwhelmingly the way we see Lula da Silva in Brazil. And I have this strange headline. Presidential candidate Gustavo Petro expressed his concern about the support and donations that enter political parties during political campaigns, stating that they are looking for ways to filter drug trafficking money into their finances. In response to the complaint of the Senator of the Republic, the National Penitentiary Prison Institute asked him for evidence to confirm his claims. This is the general topic of the narco-terrorists of the New World. And Petro is worried about them, perhaps because his previous associations are not all that distinct from narco-terrorism. But Professor, my puzzlement here is this a debating point in elections in Latin America? Narco-terrorists acting like big donors and choosing one candidate over another because of their parochial needs.
The tapestry of narco-terrorism versus leftist terrorism versus other actors in Colombia is incredibly complex and mixed up, as reflected by this. To a little bit of history, when the when you had the drug groups like Pablo Escobar and their rise back in the 90s and their high point, and later the Cali cartel and others, in those pre-cartel days, the FARC, one of the terrorist groups and others such as the ELN were dedicated to other activities. However, ironically, as the narco money began to flow through Colombia, you had those who were getting rich, basically growing cocoa, who hired big private militias to protect themselves from the FARC so that they could do those. And so eventually those militias who were considered on the right ended up eventually getting into the narco business. And yet, on the other hand, you had some groups within the left, for example, the FARC, who decided to tax the narco business in the territory that they control. And so in one way or another, both the leftist terrorist groups like the FARC as well as the rightist groups got involved in the narco money. And indeed, many of the Colombian elites were seen involved in the money. So I think Petro's reference here was his concern trying to poise himself as an anti-corruption candidate, that the right-affiliated drug money, as opposed to the left-affiliated drug money, was somehow working through shadowy Colombian elites against his candidacy and to favor the status quo, which in this case would be the person who has emerged as his principal opposition, Fico Gutierrez, who, as you pointed out, has now a real possibility of winning the Colombian presidency by those in Colombia who, although they are exhausted by everything else that Colombia has gone through, the Venezuelan refugees, the COVID-19 crisis, the economic difficulties that led to just widespread political protests across Colombia last year. At the end of the day, the Colombian despite their exhaustion with traditional politics and to some extent the response of the Iván Duque government to it, the Colombians are even more fearful of what they recall is the resurgence of the left. And so are so worried about Gustavo Petro that they're willing to turn to Fico Gutierrez to keep Petro from coming to office.
We have a minute, Professor, and there was an odd vote in Mexico in these last days, a referendum, "Do you like me?" asked AMLO, López Obrador. What to make of that vote? We have about a minute.
costing almost $80 million out of the Mexican government coffers, basically to rally his base. AMLO had 60% support, so there's no doubt that he was going to lose that. But in some ways, even though he actually won the referendum by 90%, symbolically, the results were a loss for him. Turnout was only 18%. So even with basically questionably legal Morena get out the vote tactics, the fact that he only got 18% of the voters to come out to say that they wanted him to continue in office, when actually the Constitution requires 40% to make the vote even binding. So he got some of his followers to come out to say that they love him, but the vast majority of the country didn't even show up, which itself is an indication of what the situation is towards AMLO.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, Latin American Research Professor, Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.